If we're going to appropriate the power of God, God's way, we have to recognize that it is on God's terms.
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. In his first message in this series, Doing Church God's Way, Pastor Brian Grant drew from Paul's first letter to Timothy three things that must characterize a biblical church. This week, Dr. Raphael Thomas will draw from the same letter four imperatives, things that must faithfully be done if the church is to fulfill its biblical mission. We invite you to turn to 1 Timothy chapter 1 and listen as Dr. Thomas brings the first part of his message, Appropriating God's Power, God's Way. Here is Dr. Thomas.
Last week, Pastor Brian laid a solid foundation for the sermon series, Doing Church God's Way. And by the way, if you have not yet listened to that sermon, I would encourage you to go back to the online platform and listen to three essentials of a biblical church. You know, I find that I differ from the Apostle Paul in at least one respect. For he said he does not build on another man's foundation. Well, I must confess, this week I will build on Pastor Brian's foundation. As we consider the topic, appropriating God's power, God's way. It has already been pointed out that Paul was writing to Timothy to show him how to conduct himself in the church of God, the church of the living God, which is the ground and pillar of truth. It boggles my mind how sometimes people can see the obvious truth and still search for hidden truth and come up with error. The story is told of the construction worker. He was working at a hotel, and as he left that evening, he arrived at the security gate with his wheelbarrow. In that wheelbarrow was a small box. The security asked him, "What do you have in your box?" He said, "All I have is sawdust. Nobody needs it, so I'm taking some sawdust." The security officer asked him, "Are you sure all you have is sawdust?" He said, "Well, you can have a look." He searched diligently through the sawdust, and all he found was sawdust. The following day again, he appeared with his wheelbarrow, with a small box. "What do you have in the box?" "Sawdust." Again, he searched through the sawdust, and he found nothing else. He said, "You can go." It happened a third time. And then the fourth time, the security officer said to him, "Now, something is going on. You must have something in that box. In fact, you must be stealing something. Level with me. Tell me the truth. What are you stealing?" He said, "If I have to tell you, I am stealing wheelbarrows." Sometimes the truth is so obvious, right there before us, and we search diligently and come up with error. Paul gave Timothy instructions as to how to conduct himself in the church. But he also gave him some personal instructions that I invite us to eavesdrop on today. Let us look at the text. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18. Would you bow with me for prayer, please? Father, we pray that right now you will bless your words unto our hearts and glorify your name. We pray for fresh anointing upon speaker and hearers alike. We pray that all glory will be to the name of Jesus. Touch my lips as I speak. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. The word of the Lord says, "This charge I commit to you, my son Timothy." And I am tempted to squeeze in Nathaniel. But he says, "According to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage the good warfare, having faith and a good conscience, which some have rejected concerning the faith, have suffered shipwreck." We'll stop there for a while. Paul is here giving some admonitions to Timothy. Now, Paul and Timothy had a special relationship. He referred to Timothy as my son, or in the Greek, my child. 1 Timothy 1, 2, and here in verse 18. He also was to Timothy a pace setter. For he said to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3, 10 to 11, "You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, my faith, my patience, my love, my endurance, my persecution, sufferings." He was a model for Timothy. But he was also a partner for Timothy. Romans chapter 12, 21. He referred to Timothy as a fellow worker. And not only parent, pace setter, partner, but it came to a point where he saw Timothy as a pal. Colossians 1, 1. He says, "My brother, Timothy." But interestingly, in 1 Timothy 6, 10, Paul referred to Timothy as man of God. Now, it is interesting to see how Timothy made progress in the things of God, from being a child to the man of God that he was called to be. So here we find Paul giving Timothy a charge. He says, "This charge I commit to you." Now, the word charge there is a solemn and serious exhortation. It was not just a suggestion or a recommendation. It is a commandment, and some of the translations render that word commandment. But that commandment comes with a tenderness. He says, "My child, I am giving you a very strong word, but I consider you my child." Why was this exhortation so forceful, yet so tender? Because he wanted Timothy to wage a good warfare. He wanted Timothy to fight a good fight. He wanted Timothy to understand that the Christian life is not child's play. It is serious warfare. And if he is to be victorious, he has to appropriate the power of God, God's way. He has to access the victory of the cross of Jesus Christ, but it has to be done God's way. Let us invite you to take a closer look at the charge. In verse 18, he gave him the charge so that he could fight a good fight, or war a good warfare. But he says in verse 18, "This is according to the prophecies previously made concerning you." This statement indicates that there was some prophetic utterances that were made over Timothy's life, and Paul felt that they were necessary for him to embrace them to fight a good fight. There were some divine revelations that were made known to Timothy about his life, his call, and his ministry. And the Apostle Paul said, "Timothy, you can aspire to all that you want to become, But you can only become what God calls you to become if you are going to be effective. It is not about your own dreams and ambitions. I charge you to fulfill divine purpose. If we're going to appropriate the power of God, God's way, we have to recognize that it is on God's terms. He says, I charge you to fulfill purpose. You are here, my brothers and sisters. You are here, my friends, for a purpose. God sovereignly determined that purpose when he created you. And we don't have to try and be original. All we have to try to do is to discover God's original purpose for our lives. The Lord said to Jeremiah, I know the plans I have for you. They are good plans and not bad plans. They are plans to prosper you, to give you a future and a hope. I want to remind somebody today that God has plans for you. And those plans far exceed the best plan that you can make for your own lives. His plans is the best. He said to Timothy, make sure that as you do the work of the ministry, make sure that it is according to the prophecies previously made concerning you. I'm not recommending that after church you run to Pastor Peters and Pastor Brian and ask for a prophecy. You know, some people seem to have a ready prophecy on demand. They can prophesy about everything. And anytime you want a word, you get a prophecy. But the Bible tells us that my sheep hear my voice. And I know them and they follow me. God has organized it in such a way that he will speak to us directly. Other believers may confirm that what the Holy Spirit is saying to us. But God continues to speak. He continues to reveal his plan and his purposes for us. And that's one of the major ministries of the Holy Spirit. To reveal the will of God to us. And as we develop a closer walk with God, and as we yield ourselves more to the Spirit of God, he unveils his plans for us. May God reveal to us his perfect plans for our lives. Paul was writing to the Roman church and he said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your minds. Why? He says, so that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Oh, that we will be nowhere else than in the perfect will of God. You know, sometimes things may happen in your life, and all of a sudden it seems that everything has crumbled, but God's will can still come to pass. Satan cannot prevent the will of God from coming to pass in your life. The circumstances around you cannot prevent the will of God from coming to fruition in your life. But you can resist the will of God and miss out on his best for you. And so Paul is saying to Timothy, pay attention to God's call upon your life. Pay attention to the revelation that were made over your lives. Pay attention to what the Spirit of God is saying to you. Divine alignment is required to fulfill divine assignment. I'll say that again. That sounds like it can preach. Divine alignment is required to fulfill divine assignment. So if you are a hammer in God's hand, don't try to cut like a saw. You will frustrate yourself. You will frustrate those around you. And you will fail. Paul was writing, and he wanted Timothy to fulfill God's purposes for his life. And so he reminded him, it is according to God's plan for your life. Look at Joseph. There was a point in Joseph's life where it seemed that God's plans for him were coming to naught. He had the dreams and the visions from way back in his homeland. But when he went to Egypt, and when he was put in prison, it almost seemed like everything was over. But it was from prison that God moved him to fulfill divine purpose. Sometimes God's will may take you through some rocky roads, but it brings you closer to your destination. You can still fulfill divine purpose, for God has big plans for you. You were created in His image. You were redeemed by His blood. You were bought with a price, and you are here for purpose. You are here to fulfill God's plan for your life, but also God's plan for this world. You are in God's mind and in God's picture. And although circumstances may try to derail you, and the unexpected may disappoint you, don't give up. God is still God. And purpose can still be fulfilled. So firstly, he charged Timothy to fulfill purpose. And we see in chapter 2, verse 3, God's wider plan for the world. He says, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of our God." Of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. It is a part of God's plan that everyone should come to the knowledge of the truth. And the cross of Jesus Christ is sufficient for all, but not efficient for all. God in His foreknowledge knew that some will accept and some will reject. But it is sufficient for all. Paul himself knew that he had to stick with the call of God upon his life. He was called to be an apostle, and he was not one of the 12 apostles. He was a latecomer. But God still had a plan for him. And he had to defend his apostleship. Because it was not the conventional way that one became an apostle. He wasn't with Jesus from the beginning like the others. But God met him personally on the road to Damascus. And when God struck him down with that light, he had two questions. He said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And that is followed with another question. "What wilt thou have me to do?" And that's an important question that we have to, or two questions we have to answer. Who art thou, Lord? Who are you, Lord? And when He reveals Himself to us, the next one is, "What will you have me to do. So in verse 2 of 1 Timothy chapter 1, Paul identified himself as an apostle. He goes on to point out in the scripture here that he was not only an apostle, but he had some other responsibilities to fulfill. Look with me at the text in chapter 2, verse 3. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due times, for which I was appointed, I didn't make myself into a preacher. Another word for preacher there is herald, one who proclaims. He says, for I was appointed a preacher or a herald and an apostle. I am speaking the truth in Christ and not lying, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. Have you seen the hat that Paul was wearing? H is for herald, A is for apostle, and T is for teacher. You must wear your own hat. Ladies, you will understand that I'm speaking figuratively. But we must stay in our lanes. We must fulfill the divine call of God on our lives. It is not what is popular. It is not what is more lucrative. It is what the divine God of heaven has assigned us to do. Paul says, I am comfortable in wearing this hat because I was divinely appointed for this. And every one of us in the body of Christ has a special responsibility. We have been given gifts to accomplish that responsibility. And if we try to use our gifts to do somebody else's job, we will find ourselves in trouble. He has equipped us to do what he has called us to do. So with that, we move to the second charge. If the first charge is a charge to fulfill purpose, the second charge is a charge to faithfully persevere.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ, or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-242-5550 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for online worship this Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. at livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. It would be a pleasure to have you as part of our online audience. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.